Welcome to the Northern Nerd Podcast. We're glad you could join us today. The Northern Nerd is the Northwoods entertainment, media, and creative hub. Each show includes different guests that come from all walks of life with stories to share. Enjoy our latest episode. If you like the Northern Nerd Podcast and other things created by the Northern Nerd, please consider supporting us by going to our online store at www.thenorthernnerd.com/online store. And there you're going to find our hats, our coffee mugs, our t-shirts, and not just stuff with our logos on them, but other things with the Northwoods in mind. If you go there right now and you go to checkout and you type in promo code podcast as you're checking out, you're going to get 10% off your next order. Please consider supporting the Northern Nerd, and thank you for being a nerd. Hey everybody, welcome to the Northern Nerd Podcast, episode number 30. We're hitting a milestone today. Today's guest is Katie Krull, and Katie was hired by the Cincinnati Reds as a baseball operations analyst back in January of 2020. In her role, she develops and integrates new tools and technology to improve baseball operations decision-making process, provides comprehensive scouting coverage, and statistical request support to the front office. And today we're going to get to know a little bit more about that and what Katie's role is and hear a little bit of her story. So Katie, welcome onto the show.
Thank you so much, Dalton. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. So we all know that the MLB season has been put on hold for the time being, but what has it been like being involved in the MLB during this time? Are there still many things taking place?
Surprisingly, we're staying pretty busy. The commissioner's office and players association has been hard at work developing a plan that emphasizes protecting the safety of our players, fans, staff, and coaches during this pandemic. And at the Reds, we have the same goal. We're using the delayed start to our season to put our organization in the best possible position for when games return. And in particular, the draft and projects in the analytics department have been consuming most of my waking hours.
Yeah, I could imagine. Like, and we have nothing else to base this off of. So it's all kind of uncharted waters for everybody. So just adapting the best you can in this situation, I guess.
Definitely. I think we're all learning on the fly in a lot of ways, and we're a smaller front office, so there's this great sense of community that we feel among fellow employees, and I think we've picked each other up wherever anyone's fallen off due to personal or family matters at this time.
Yeah, that's good that you're there for each other and are able to feel that sense of community within the organization. That's got to be nice to have there. So can you
absolutely?
Yeah. So can you tell us what the typical day at the office looks like for you?
My schedule typically revolves, Dalton, around what point we're at in the baseball season. So when I first joined the Reds in January, we were still in the throes of our roster construction conversations. So these are strategy sessions in the offseason where we're weighing to sign Nick Castellanos or Marcell Ozuna and which player we should ink to a long-term deal, short-term contract, the amount of that payment, and then also who we should add in terms of bullpens and then spring training invites. When the calendar flips to February and March, that's when I head down to Arizona for spring training. And that's a lot of scouting during games and then incorporating some of the new technologies that we had purchased in the offseason, like Edgertronic cameras, KVS, and making sure that everybody's set up to do well for this season.
Wow. That's a lot to think about. Do you ever feel like you're living in the movie Moneyball at times?
Definitely. There's no Brad Pitt, but
no.
Otherwise, lots of parallels. It's really exciting to be part of putting together a championship roster and to see how all the different variables come together. And being able to work with the coaching staff and the players and gain their insights has been invaluable to increase my understanding of baseball.
Yeah, that's your job sounds like it's very interesting. And I'd be dishonest if I was saying I wasn't a little bit jealous of just the stuff you get to be around on a daily basis.
Absolutely. I definitely have those pinch me moments where I recognize that there are a lot of people in this world who would give just about anything to be in my shoes. So if a project ever feels long or sometimes you're putting in extra hours, you have to remind yourself of how lucky you are.
Yeah, definitely. So before being hired with the Reds, you worked in New York City at the baseball commissioner's office and you were the first female chosen for MLB's inaugural diversity fellowship program. Can you describe to our listeners what that meant to you?
It was absolutely the most incredible honor of my life. I later found out that 1,300 applicants had applied for the two positions that were available in New York. And when I received the letter of offer, it was the day after my 21st birthday. And I vividly remember opening it and being stunned because I knew the odds had been against me, but I didn't recognize at the time how staggering they were. And I was actually pacing around my room in my sorority's house and
I could
couldn't
imagine.
Contain myself because I just knew the whole world had changed and that my path had been set in a new direction. I was incredibly appreciative and felt very blessed that God had put this in my life.
Yeah, that's got to be an incredible feeling and just indescribable and tough to put into words what you're probably feeling at that time. And congratulations to you for that. That's really great.
Thank you. At times it feels like it was yesterday, and then it also at other moments could be another lifetime ago.
Right. So what was something that you enjoyed about working for the commissioner's office?
The unique thing about being at MLB is that you have the opportunity to work on a lot of macro level projects that impact the industry as a whole. And I found that very rewarding, whether it was salary arbitration, determining the feasibility of moving back to pitcher's mound or negotiations with the minor leagues. I knew that all of my work would have a significant impact on the industry as a whole. And at the league office, you become a custodian of the game in many ways. Having that responsibility definitely brought an energy and a purpose to my work.
Yeah, and you get to see that just on a daily basis, like the impact that you're making, I could imagine.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It was really rewarding and gratifying. I had phenomenal peers and bosses that I worked with. You were able to develop a lot of relationships with all 30 clubs because they would be calling you, seeking advice on salary arbitration or different matters that you had to handle. So you get an inside look at how each front office functions.
Yeah, that's great. And that's got to be a lot of responsibility as well. So was that something that was really challenging about that job too?
I would say it was challenging in that there was a relentless stream of work. It felt like every time you sent something through, there were two or three more things that warranted your attention. I think the toughest part overall about the commissioner's office was the lifestyle change. Having graduated from Northwestern in 3 years and my twin sister was still enrolled at the school and kind of being away from everything and removed in a new city and starting out on this new journey when a lot of my friends and peers were still back at college, I think that required a little bit of having a foot in each world.
Yeah, that's got to be quite a change in lifestyle, I could imagine. Was there anything that you really enjoyed about living in New York City?
Probably the pizza and the people, most of all.
Okay, yes.
I think there's this amazing energy in Manhattan when you wake up in the morning and you feel like you're at the center of the world. And one of my favorite quotes about the city is from Tom Wolfe, and he says, "One belongs to New York instantly. One belongs to it as much in 5 minutes as in 5 years." And I think that sense of community really drew me to it. And my thoughts and my prayers are with everyone in New York now as the city has evolved and changed so rapidly in the past few weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Just the amount of people that are being affected right now by this whole coronavirus pandemic is just hard to wrap your head around. But I really like what you said about, feeling that sense of community almost instantly when you get there. Just even visiting when I was there in eighth grade, I know it feels like a lifetime ago, but when I was there in eighth grade, you just like felt like this energy or this buzz. And like, it was something that you really want to be a part of. So that's something I really enjoyed about the city as well.
Definitely. You're just surrounded by 11 million other people chasing their dreams. And there's something romantic and really inspiring about that.
Yeah. Playing the Frank Sinatra, New York, New York, and just getting after it.
Yeah. Two baseball teams. I mean, you can't really ask for anything else.
Right. Right. Speaking of baseball and just all this talk about baseball, I'm curious to see or to hear what are your top three baseball movies or just top three movies in general. They don't necessarily have to be baseball related, but.
Yeah, that's an awesome question. I would say A League of Their Own, probably because each time I watch it, it reminds me of the women who have come before me in this game and hopefully those who will come after. Number two would probably go to Bull Durham, and then the natural would round out the top three for me.
I like it a lot. Yeah. I really enjoy watching a League of Their Own as well. That's a great movie. And my uncle lives in Rockford. So I had some sort of connection with the Rockford Peaches there, but
nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. But I'm really glad, that you're involved in Major League Baseball. 'Cause I don't feel like there right now, there's like a lot of women in baseball. Is there a lot of women in the office that you see, or what's that like?
I think we're an expanding sorority, but we're definitely far from gender equality. At the Reds, we have a number of females in our office, both on the business and baseball side. So that has been welcome. And it is an organization that prioritizes and promotes diversity, both diversity of thought and diversity as a whole. And I think that is where the industry is heading. Like any business, it's the best approach, because when you have an informed array of voices in a room, they're going to produce the best results. You want to make sure that you have different representation to ensure that all aspects of your information is provided.
Right. Yeah. Is your goal one day to be a general manager?
Yes. I'd like to be the first female GM if Kim Ang doesn't beat me to it, but that's always been the driving force in my life.
Yeah, that's great. I would really, yeah, that'd be really awesome to see.
Thank you.
I'm rooting for you. Yeah.
You heard it here first on the Northern Nerd.
Yes. Are there any MLB stadiums you haven't been to yet that are on your list to go to?
I've been pretty fortunate. I've ticked off, I believe, 19 when my twin sister and I were being recruited to play golf in college. We would try to piggyback a stadium visit onto a recruiting trip. So,
ooh, that's a good way.
It worked out really nicely. My twin sister likes baseball, but definitely not to the degree that I do. So yeah. For her, she was kind of an unwilling participant, but I got to see, you know, like the Giants stadium, which is amazing. Fenway's incredible. But the two that remain on my list are Camden Yards in Baltimore and then Dodger Stadium out in LA. I think they've got a lot of history that I would really appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely, about a year and a half ago, I was at Dodger Stadium, and, you wouldn't think like a stadium would be around that area just driving through. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you get there. It's like, wow, this is breathtaking. And just to experience all that. So yeah, I hope that trip comes up for you soon, because it's a really cool stadium to see.
You'll have to give me some other recommendations. I'm sure I'll have to get a car to get there because it's Los Angeles.
Right. And just looking at some information about you here, it says you planned the Chicago Cubs World Series trophy tour back in 2016.
Yes, I did.
So what was that? Was that experience very important to you, seeing as how you went to school at Northwestern University?
It was absolutely surreal. And sometimes when I watch footage from games that year, the celebration afterwards, I have a hard time believing that it actually happened.
Yeah.
We knew that for a lot of fans, they would never get to meet Anthony Rizzo or John Lester. So we wanted to bring them a piece of that championship. And when we organized the tour, it was January, February, and March of 2017. So we're in the throes of the brutal Midwest winter, and we would have upwards of 5,000 fans who would come out and wait in line to get a photo with the commissioner's trophy. And my task specifically was coordinating with town mayors and different elected officials to identify venues that could accommodate these huge lines and make sure that they were taken care of. And that ran the gamut of ordering gallons of coffee and hundreds of donuts to make sure that fans were satiated and happy and excited to have this moment. And it was incredible being at Northwestern, being a part of Chicago for my whole life. That was incredibly rewarding. It was a World Series that three generations of my family had waited for, and somehow the stars had aligned that I was a part of it. And it definitely cemented my desire to want to work in baseball.
Yeah. That's just gotta be such an incredible experience, especially after, the Cubs having such a drought. Was it 108 years, I think?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. So just to have that experience and just to share that moment with so many of those fans that have been lifelong fans, or their parents are fans of the Cubs, or their grandparents were. And that just had to be really special to be a part of that. So I'm glad you got to do that as well.
Thank you.
I was rooting for the Cubs that year too. I know that's taboo to say as a Brewers fan, but I think, yeah, I was rooting for them. I was like, it's time the Cubs win the World Series. I mean, this is their year if they're going to do it. So I was glad to see that they won.
That's the thing about sports. Those narratives and storylines can connect different types of people. You know, I've had so many amazing conversations about people that I had nothing else in common with, but we both loved baseball. And whether it's talking about Tom Seaver or the Brooklyn Dodgers or maybe even baseball in Japan, there's just so many aspects of the game that can unite us.
Yeah. It just has a crazy way of bringing people together. And that's something that's great about baseball, but just sports or even music and stuff like that in general, just that commonality and that love of the game is really cool to talk with other people about.
Definitely.
So we've talked about what your typical day looks like and all the things that go into your job, but how do you escape the stress after a long work day?
Typically I rely on running. So putting in some old Jonas Brothers music and
yes,
trying to get a few miles out as kind of my home remedy.
Yeah, that's good. Classic. What's your favorite Jonas Brothers song?
I typically will listen to Burning Up on a loop and then maybe as a cool down Love Bug, but I don't deviate too far from like their earlier items.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you feel about their new music?
I like it. I'm glad that they're back. I think that they represent like an earlier time for a lot of people. So there's a lot of comfort and sentimentality there, but I wish them all the best. I actually met them in DC a few years ago. This was probably like 2006, right when they were taking off, and my twin sister and I were walking through the lobby and I just read Tiger Beat magazine, which was like the people version for like tweens.
Okay.
And I turned to her and I go, those are the Jonas Brothers. We should go talk to them. It was Kevin, Nick, and Joe, all three of them.
Wow.
And my sister Annie wasn't sure. And she's like, I don't know. Those could just be like three cute guys. And I said, no, I really think it's them. And so we actually had our dad go up to them and he said, hey, are you guys the Jones Brothers? And they were like, yes, we are the Jonas Brothers. And they were really nice, like, signed autographs for us, took photos. Really good guys.
That's awesome. Has there been, it doesn't have to be Jonas Brothers, but has there been like a favorite concert that you've been to? Because living in New York City, there's tons of concerts there. So
yes. I saw John Mayer at the Garden, which was really good. He kind of like went off the handle on a few songs and like ad-libbed them, but it was awesome. He's a super talented musician. And then at Northwestern, we used to have a festival called Dillo Day, where at the end of May, there would be all these different artists who would come through. And Daya came my sister's senior year, and we were there, like a bunch of us. And it was this very culminating moment of our college experience to be there belting out her song.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I think I saw John Mayer the same year that you did. Because I remember,
really?
You were up in Hayward last summer. And we were talking about, we got to talking about music or something like that. And you said you mm-hmm. went and saw John Mayer, and I saw him that same year in,
that's right.
In Minnesota. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what you said at that time was spot on. Like, yeah, he'll just kind of go off on these rants and you're not sure what he's saying, but somehow it makes sense. And then just his freestyle and his songs, and it just continues like the jam session that he has with his bands.
That's
pretty cool. Yeah. So I'm glad we kind of had a shared experience there in some capacity.
John Mayer brings people together.
He does. So speaking of Hayward, your family has a cabin on the Couderay since 1972. So what do you enjoy most about coming up to Hayward? And do you have any favorite memories that you'd like to share?
I love Hayward. I think Hayward has been really formative in the person that I've become, spending every summer up there and having so many family memories, whether it's competing in the Lumberjack World Championship and the amateur girls log grilling division, which my friends from home still can't wrap their head around that is a formal sporting event and that multiple countries compete in it. Fishing for perch on Couderay with my mom definitely stands out, and golfing up there, whether it was at Hayward National or Big Fish, just a lot of amazing memories. And I'm looking forward to getting back up this summer too.
Yeah. We look forward to having you back up here. It's
thank you.
Yeah, it's crazy all the things that happen here. Like, you wouldn't think in a small town that there'd be this much going on. Mm-hmm. But we just had the Berkey in February. Have you ever been to the Berkey, by the way?
Never made it up in the winter. No, it's on my bucket list.
It's a pretty unique event. This last year was probably the best weather I think we've ever had for it. Just the right amount of snow, and it was like 40 degrees. Mm-hmm. So it was great for spectating. Awesome. Pretty good skiing from what I hear. I'm not a skier, so I don't really know, but
hard to judge.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely try to make it up for that. But have you been to the Lumberjack World Championship recently?
I want to say 2 years ago, and I was there for the axe cutting, and I think there was also the tree climbing competition, and I was stunned to see there was an open keg and people were having a few beers before they scaled up. I thought it was absolutely phenomenal.
Yes. True Northern Wisconsin fashion right there.
You have to hydrate.
Right. The careers of those, the tree climbers don't last that long. It's very hard on their knees. So they gotta battle that fear with something, I think.
Right. Exactly.
you've made your way downtown quite a bit, probably to the candy store and different shops like that.
Yes. Tremblay's, the bakery.
Yeah. They're doing construction actually right now on Main Street. So it's been kind of different to see, but they'll have a new road once you're here next.
Oh, nice. Look at Hayward upgrading.
Oh yeah. Are there any comments or shout outs that you want to give while you're on the show?
I definitely want to give a shout out to my family. They introduced me to Hayward and they've made it such a home for me. And I think that without them, it wouldn't have such a special place in my heart. And I guess to anyone listening, stay safe and stay well. And hopefully we'll all be back on the field soon.
Yes, I really hope that as well. It's life is just different without having baseball right now.
You've lost the rhythm in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Like even watching, I mean, I'm a fan of watching the classic games and stuff like that, but it's just not the same mm-hmm. as seeing it live or being around the stadium and just hearing, like, I feel lost without hearing Bob Uecker's voice on the radio when I'm driving at night. Like, a part of me is missing.
Right. Because it informs the background of your life. And for the Reds, and I'm sure for the Brewers in particular as well, like, we were really looking forward to this season. We felt like we put together a team that was going to help us compete for the NL Central and even the World Series. And our coaching staff was fired up and we were all ready to go. So to have that halted, it's understandable. And we're looking forward to when it returns, but definitely different than what we anticipated.
Yeah. I think we might have to set up like a Field of Dreams here somewhere in town to try to do something to buy the time or pass the time here.
There you go. I could be the GM of that team. You can be the coach.
Yes, I'd be down for that. We'll make it happen.
Absolutely.
I'll be right by the Big Muskie.
Perfect. I can see it. People want sports. We can give it to them.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. And yeah, hopefully the season gets going here pretty soon and everybody's staying healthy. And yeah, thanks again.
Oh, absolutely, Dalton. Thank you. I really enjoyed this.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast. Feel free to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on Apple Music and Spotify Music so you know when our latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast is coming out. That about does it for us, so continue to be kind to one another, and we'll see you around town.